Congressman, could, you are one of the co-sponsors of this bill. Could you talk a little bit about what is in this bill and how it's going to impact farmers throughout the United States?
Well, this is building on we passed Word of 2014. It was signed into law in June 2014. And Word of 2014 had a lot of reforms in there that streamlined the processes and authorized projects. So this is just building on that. And we had 30 chiefs reports and 29 feasibility studies. We reviewed each one of these reports and studies before the numerous hearings in my subcommittee in public. This bill deauthorizes some old projects that were authorized years ago, about $10 billion worth of projects. We have about 10 billion, new projects and, these 30 chiefs reports. But, it's really important. It addresses the needs for, the harbors and the locks and the dams on our river system. And then, of course, the ports with the depths, draft and the widths and flood protection. So it's important to rural America and agriculture in particular. I've always said one of the reasons that we've been competitive exporting our agricultural goods products out of this country is because we've had a good transportation system, and that's given us an edge against some of our competitors, especially in South America. And so this is building on what we did in Word of 14, I think, to streamline the process, get the studies going, get the work going, get these projects completed within budget and in time. And, Chairman Schuster and I have been committed to get a Word of bill done every Congress every 2 years. So we otherwise you'd add cost to these projects. Time's money, as you know.
Of course. One of the problems in the past, of course, was a lack of a funding mechanism for some of the projects that were put in previous bills. And I was wondering if you could talk us through some of the funding mechanisms that are in place in this bill to address some of those issues.
Well, the key one was in 2000, in the Word of 14, on the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund on the river system, we had one project, the Homestead Lock and Dam project in Paducah, Kentucky. That's a multi-decade project, been way over budget. And we were able to kind of move that off budget and change the cost share and change how we fund that project. And that freed up some of the Inland Waterway Trust money that was pretty much all going to that project. And we were able to start the locks in the Lower Mon over in the Pennsylvania-Ohio area. So we picked up some monies that way. And then in the other way, regarding the ports of the United States, the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund, which is an ad valorem tax on the value of imports, goes into this trust fund that's used to do dredging and widening of our channels in the ports. And a lot of that money that was coming in wasn't being used for the purposes of its intended purposes. And so we've had a kind of a gentleman's agreement with the appropriators that money that goes for its actual intention, for dredging, will incrementally increase every year, so that's helped get more money that trust fund brings in to go for where it's supposed to go for, and so that's helped. Another big change that was helpful in Word of 14 that we're building on in 16 is get these studies going. We call it the 3x3x3, where the studies can't cost more than $3 million, can't take more than 3 years. And the third aspect of that 3x3x3 is that at the district level of the Corps and at the regional level and the D.C. level, they're talking amongst themselves and not just working individually. So, working concurrently and not consecutively, so that speeds up. And another big change we had in Word of 14, a reform, was other government entities, if they want to be involved in the studies, or the environmental studies, the NEPA studies, or whatever, they have to be involved with the Corps from day one. They can't come in after all the work's done and say, what about this, what about this? And so, some of that streamlining and efficiencies has really helped, I think, on the cost side, and then bring in, additional money from the Inland Waterway Trust Fund and the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund.
So it's not entirely federally funded. There's also going to be openings for some funds coming in from other entities as well then.
Yeah, we have provisions, and we did in Ward of 14, we expanded here in 16, where the private stakeholders, the local cost shareholders can actually, if they have the money for the studies, they can front that money and kind of streamline that process so that they don't have to wait for the feds to the core to have the money. So every project is, it depends on what the project is. There's different cost ratio benefits, but we've done some things in there to make that part of that process more efficient. And especially if, like say the Miami Port was a good example. They had the money, so they were able to move forward by the changes we made. And, there's no reason for a local entity in the local locale to not be able to move forward if they got the resources to do that, instead of having to wait in the court to get the resources. And so that helps. And that's really critical, especially with the expansion of the Panama Canal for some of our ports in the United States to be able to get to where they need to be to handle these ships, the bigger Panamax ships, fully loaded.
Okay. Now, can you walk us through some of the amendments that were attached to the bill yesterday? I know one of the points of contention has been funding for Flint, Michigan to address the water issue in that area, and I'm not sure if that was attached or not, but could you walk us through some of the amendments?
Yeah, the amendments yesterday, I don't think there was much controversy on them. I had to check to see how many were adopted. There's going to be 15 or so amendments today that the rules ruled in order, and the one that you bring up about the Flint amendment, the Kildee-Molliner amendment, that amendment deals with Flint in kind of an indirect way. I think it's $170 million money's being available to any area that's been declared a disaster. So Flint's been declared a disaster. Obviously, Louisiana's been declared a disaster. And keep in mind, the Senate already passed their version of WERDA, and they had 200 and some million for Flint alone, standalone. And so this House amendment, if it's adopted, it will provide $170 million, and it'll be open up to any disaster. But, obviously Flint would be, and Louisiana would be at the top of the list. And I think that's, an agreement that's a compromise because I know that Democrats in the Senate have been holding up the CR over this issue about Flint. And so I think it's a compromise to say, well, this issue should really be dealt with in the WERDA bill, and it's already in the Senate WERDA bill. And they said, well, that's not good enough. The House, it's not in the House bill. And one of the reasons it wasn't in the original House bill is T&I committee does not have jurisdiction of clean drinking water. That's Energy and Commerce. And this WERDA bill is, a T&I bill, Clean Water Act jurisdiction and Army Corps engineers. So putting this amendment in, if it's adopted, will send a clear signal that Flint is addressed in one way or another in both bills coming out of both chambers, and we go to conference. And that should, satisfy the concerns, especially from the members from Michigan and the Democrat members of the Senate, so we can move forward and get the CR done.
Okay, so when it comes up and after the other amendments are attached and it goes through the process today and comes up to a vote, you're expecting passage?
Yes. There might be some Democrats that maybe weren't supporting the House bill with this amendment. They probably might bring them all on. I don't know. We'll have to see. There's, I know the ranking member, Peter DeFazio, had an issue with the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund and wasn't supportive of the WERDA bill, but I think we weren't able, it's kind of ironic, we weren't in disagreement with Mr. DeFazio's amendment. What his amendment said was by 2026, or 2028, 2026 I guess it is, that all the monies received in the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund have to go for what it's supposed to go for, dredging and widening of channels. Bill Schuster and I, we're not disagreeing with that. It's just that, the way the process worked with the appropriators, they like, you know, they like to have some of that money to use elsewhere, which I have issues with myself. But we, like I said, 2014, we had this agreement, and you know, it's appropriators have been holding that agreement, and that's how we got it. And then, you know, for us to put that in 2026, I believe it's meaningless anyways, because the next Congress or the Congress after that can change it and do whatever they want. So it's just really a kind of a gimmick. And I know Mr. DeFazio was, you know, makes a good argument, and we're not disagreeing with him, but it doesn't really have any, you know, things that, you know, power to do anything. It's just a feel-good thing. But so he was opposed to it. But now with the Flynn Amendment, if it gets adopted into it, you know, I'm sure a lot more Democrats will be on board.
Okay. And then the final question, Congressman, can you just give me the brass tacks, how much money is projected to be in the bill when it comes up to a vote, and just finally your summary of what is in it?
Well, the bill with the deauthorization, the $10 billion of deauthorizations of projects, so all the new projects that are being authorized are paid for with the deauthorization. I don't have that sheet right in front of me, all the different projects I have. I just don't have it right in front of me right now, but we can get that to you, you can see that. There's a lot of good projects out there that have been vetted before they even come to Congress, you know, at the local. One of the first questions I always ask the General Jackson, you know, the Deputy General of all Army Corps Works, is was there any significant opposition to any of these projects, these chiefs reports that you bring before the committee? Because he said there wasn't any. I always like to ask that because I want to make sure that the feds or the Corps is not pushing a project that doesn't have local support. And so all these projects have local support and local buy-in. That's where you get the cost share. And that's always, I think, a good barometer, so we make sure that we're not doing something in an area of the country that's not supportive locally and doesn't have the support financially, too. So, and I think that helps the accountability and transparency. So I don't think anybody can make an argument that these projects that we're authorizing are not, they're supportive locally and by the Corps, and have been vetted, and so that's accountable and it's transparent. There's no earmarks in the bill, and it's fiscally responsible, but it makes sure that we do what's necessary, especially in our maritime transportation system, our waterways, the river system, and the ports, that we're ready to be able to handle the commerce and the trade. And then also with flood protection and other infrastructure projects, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and the trust funds are being used appropriately, and taxpayer dollars are being used appropriately.